Good morning. I think most of you know me. I don't see too many visitors this morning, but if you are visiting, my name is Van. I'd like to welcome you to our service today, and we're glad that you are here. I'm not a pastor. I served as an elder in the past at this church, and I'll be sharing the good news of Jesus with you today. We have been in the process of finding a full-time pastor, as I think Justin mentioned earlier. We had a candidate come last Sunday, and we'll be voting on the call of Pastor Tim Miller following the service today. I know I already said this, I believe, but if I haven't, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. If you know someone that does not have one, that's a friend of yours or family, please feel free to take that Bible with you today when you leave. Today's the title of the message is, Are You Ready for Our Lord's Return? I would ask that you would stand with me in honoring God's reading of His Word in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 4, on page 1174 of your pew Bible. And this is titled, The Day of the Lord. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You may be seated. Just a quick recap of chapter 4 here. In the last part of chapter 4, Paul dealt with the concerns that Thessalonian believers had about those who had died before Christ's second coming and would not be part of the resurrection. Paul reassured them, saying in verse 14, For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Then he went on to say in verse 16b and 17 of chapter 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them the Lord in the air. And so we all will always be with the Lord. Let's just pray here before we begin the study this morning. Lord Jesus, just be with me as I share your word today. Help me to speak clearly, and may you direct my tongue and my mouth and the words I use. May it all be to your glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 5 continues with a discussion of Christ's second coming, but from the perspective of those who are alive at the time of Christ's coming. I'm going to use a word here this morning, rapture. I want you to know that that is not biblical. It is not mentioned in the Bible, that word in particular. But we use it as Christians in terminology to describe this event. The rapture happens between his ascension and his second coming. So I may use the word rapture in here in the sermon a couple different times, maybe three, I don't remember right now. But I do want you to know that is not a biblical word in the Bible. I'd like to begin by reading an article from The Blade that was published probably 30 years ago plus by our pastor and deacons of this church. It says, on Sunday morning about 2 a.m., the tornado sirens went off in Concordia and continued to blow for some time. Upon checking the outdoors, the sky was clear and the stars were bright. KNCK was not on the air giving a warning, nor was the weather radio broadcasting anything about inclement weather. Upon calling the police department with a question, "What's happening?" the answer was received, "We have no idea. We believe it was a false alarm." The book of 1 Thessalonians tells us of an unexpected event that will come as a thief in the night. This event will be the return of Jesus Christ to this planet for those who have chosen him as Lord and Savior. And it goes on to say, he says, "And above all, make sure that you're ready for the unexpected event when Jesus will come as a thief in the night." Basically, the pastors and elders wrote this article. What they were saying was, yes, Jesus is coming back as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. Yes, this event will be the return of Jesus to earth for those who have chosen to put their trust and faith in him as their Lord and Savior. Yes, we all need to make sure that we're ready for this event. But when he comes again, it will not be a false alarm. He will come without warning, and it'll be in the blink of an eye. So now, as we begin looking at today's text, the first four verses of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 4, contain the heart of Paul's message to believers wherever he preached. These verses contain words of exhortation and cautions concerning the ideal walk of believers on earth as they anxiously anticipate the return of Jesus. All believers should be prepared, watching and waiting, because his coming to earth is imminent. But we are not to be idle. We are to be models of what we will become when he comes for us and meets us in the air. In verse 1 and 2, Paul had often taught the doctrine of the second coming. He taught that the believer will not enter into that great tribulation period, which has been labeled the day of the Lord. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you." There are two Greek words for time, and I'm going to try to pronounce these as best I can. One of them is chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S, and the other is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Chronos has to do with clock time, the time by which we keep daily appointments. And kairos has to do with special moments in time, moments with potential to determine destinies. But when used together, as they are here, the distinction between the two words fades so that time and seasons express the intent well. In other words, Paul is saying, it's not necessary that I write to you concerning the dates and times of our Lord's return. In Mark 13:32, Jesus said, "But that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, only the Father." According to this clear and understandable statement from the Word of God, such knowledge is not for us, and certainly we are not to indulge in idle speculation concerning the precise time when the Lord will come. We are to pay no attention to any man who sets a date when the Lord will return for his own. When you consider this verse, it seems to be disobedient to the set dates and construct times for the second coming of Jesus. I'd just like to refer to Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." chapter or verse 2. It says, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Paul believed in installing the fundamentals of faith into the hearts and minds of those to whom he preached. The words fully aware can be translated as accurately and precisely. Notice what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 3. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed by the Spirit, by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Unless the rebellion comes first, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. In essence, Paul answered, you already know that nothing precise can be known concerning Christ's return. For this glorious event will come upon the world as a thief in the night. Precise dates and events are not known. In verse 2, where it says the Lord will come like a thief in the night, Paul is saying that there is coming a day when Jesus will come for his jewels, when the dead in Christ will be raised, living, the living will be changed, and together will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air. Such a day is coming. Yes, it's on the way. In God's word, it says it will happen, but no man can know when this day will arrive. So why did the Holy Spirit compare the coming, second coming of the Lord to a thief in the night? The answer is clear. Even a child knows what a thief is and what he does. When a thief comes, it's usually at night, and he definitely does not announce his arrival. He comes quietly into the house and takes all the diamonds, rubies, and pearls and gold that he can find, whatever is of value, and leaves immediately. He takes with him precious stones and jewels, but leaves the dishes and pots and pans. A thief wants everything of value. When he gets what he came for, he disappears, in the majority of cases, is not seen by anyone. When Jesus comes again, he will take the jewels and the born-again ones. I would just like to turn now to Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. The heading of this section is the coming of the Son of Man. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. All of this will happen very quickly. And let me point out again the phrase, the thief in the night. This is the terminology is to refer both events to the rapture and the thief in the night. It is used of Christ's coming in judgment on the day of the Lord at the end of the seven-year tribulation. It is used for the judgment which concludes the millennium. The church is waiting for the Lord to come. Verse 3. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains become on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. In the last part of this verse, Paul describes this day of terror in this way. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The Greek reads, as the birth pain come upon her is with child. This illustration signifies terrible agony, an intense pain, and this is inevitable. No one can escape it. Once the birth pain has been felt, the baby must be delivered. When the appointed hour known only to God arrives, judgment must fall. There is no stopping the hand of justice and righteousness. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, they will suffer great punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. In the first part of verse 3 says, there is peace and security. Destruction will become upon them suddenly. It's going to be a big surprise to the world. It will not be expected. Lord Jesus warned to take heed that no man deceives you. The world expects to enter a great era of peace, the millennium, but will find themselves plunged into a great tribulation. That will include the greatest war that the world has ever seen. So, when the day of the Lord comes, Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. With his angels, he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God or obey his gospel. I'd like to reference that back to Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 16. And this is the heading for this, for these verses is final judgment and the glory of God. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger and fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire will the Lord enter into judgment, by his sword with all flesh, and those slain by the Lord shall be many. The unbelievers will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, as we read there. This will take place when Jesus comes to be glorified by his saints and to be admired by all who believe. This day will be the day when Jesus returns with his bride after the marriage supper in the sky and the rewarding of believers. Verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Paul is reminding the believers of Thessalonica that when they turn to God from idols to serve a true and living God, they begin at that moment to wait and look for his Son from heaven. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that the grace of God has appeared to bring salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and unworldly desires and to live sensibly and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our Lord Jesus, of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And that's referenced in 2 Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. And if you were downstairs this morning, as one of the verses that Justin had used in Sunday school. All those born again believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul carefully instructed the Christians at Thessalonica concerning the rapture of the church, and therefore they were not in darkness. They were in the light because they had carefully taught them the true doctrine of the Lord's return. Since the Thessalonians were not in darkness, the coming day will hold no terror or surprise for them. The day of the Lord will not overtake them as a thief, sneaking up upon them suddenly and robbing them of their treasures, but it will come to them as welcome daybreak, full of light and joy. To the wicked and careless by sad contradiction, the day of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. Just to kind of sum up here what I shared with you this morning, Jesus is coming again, personally and visibly. He's coming back in power and glory. He will return to consummate his redemptive mission and to establish his eternal kingdom. The warning of Scripture is consistent. Use discernment in listening to those who claim to have all the details of the end times figured out, and ignore those who resort to date-setting end-time events. Live as if today is the last day. If we're not careful, the delay in Jesus' return will lead to complacency. Living in the expectation that he could return today compels us to live every day for what matters for eternity. So when the Lord returns, only one thing awaits those who have not obeyed the gospel call, and that is the wrath of God. I know people have been preaching the return of Jesus for 2,000 years, but don't you ever let that keep you from believing it to be true. Time means nothing to God. He's promised in his word that he's coming back personally, visibly, and suddenly. And I want to tell you, when he returns, it's going to be a glorious event or it's going to be a troubling event. It's up to you to choose which it will be for you. I'd like to refer to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says here, "But do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? Have you repented of your sin and called on Jesus to save you? Or will you gamble with time and run the risk of getting caught in the flood of his vengeance? I'd just like to close with a passage out of Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. It says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake." In this verse, our Lord emphasizes the need for constant readiness for his return. So are you ready if he would return today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, I just ask now that you would just take your word, Lord, and may it turn the soil in our hearts today. I ask Almighty God that you would use your word this morning to bring salvation to those who don't know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.